Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thank you so much for staying with us. Now, last week, when the results of the matric results were released, very soon after the release of the results, you got to BOSA, Build One South Africa, releasing a statement saying, well, let's be very aware that these are not a real reflection of the pass rate. And they gave us a sense of what they believe the pass rate to be. You know that 87% was announced as the national pass rate. And they're saying, no, that's not satisfactory, and it's not actually a real reflection on the pass rate. They've written to the Speaker of Parliament, Togo Didiza, and requesting an urgent debate in Parliament to address the critical state of education in this country. So BOSA leader Musi Maimane is on the line with us this evening. A very good evening, Mr. Maimane. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Good evening, and good evening to Bomkhaya and if it's still permissible to say so, I wish everyone a great year.
Absolutely, it still is. Thank you so much for your time. You are still disputing this pass rate that Minister of Basic Education delivered to us not so long ago. You're saying we need to talk about the real pass rate in this country.
Yeah, and I think it's important for any parent who has a child in this country and puts them in the education system. As it happens, and there were 1.2 million young people who started school, and when they were the class then of 2024, only 700,000 of them actually wrote, and only 52% of them actually passed. So when you say it's 87%, you have masked away the fact that many had dropped out. In the report's own technical undertaking, many of them do so in grade 11 because it's nice to hold back learners that you think sometimes are not going to pass.
Yep.
You also become very clear about the fact that the genuine assessment of the National Senior Certificate is on the basis of passing three subjects at 30%. So if you have to pass subjects at 30%, of course more people are going to pass, not less, because the bar is so low. And more than anything, it is a genuine, whilst I applaud learners who stick it out and stay in school and get through and pass, particularly this class, given the impact of COVID, I think that as South Africans, we need to reflect deeply on the state of our education and say, is the proof of our education system delivering young people who are going into the workplace? And by sheer evidence, 2 out of 3 of the young people in this country cannot find work, and the majority of them are unemployable.
In your view, I mean, what, and we've explored this extensively, you know, the kind of challenges, and, you know, the minister attempted to explain to us where these children are. You may have heard her response saying, no, some of them go to private schools and so on. You know, NPOs in the sector disagree with that. It seems like you're the same. In your view, what can be done in the immediate future?
No, what I think is vital is making sure that the variables with which that causes school dropout pertain to often trying to do as best as you can to make sure there's a responsible adult at home. We know there's a correlation between a responsible adult who's a parent and whether that child will stay in school or not.
Mm.
Secondly, when young people fail, what support do we offer them? Because in the main, failure is a significant contributor to this issue. When they fail and no one gives them the sense of, you can try again, this is what you've got to do, this becomes a challenge. The third issue is the fact that, yes, what we should be doing is upping the standards and giving aspiration to education. Because over 90% of the people who are unemployed, often the majority, 90% of them don't actually are below matric or below.
Yeah.
So in essence, if you espouse the idea that having a matric must be a meaningful tool for employment, it must mean something. It can't just be, well, you've got 30% for life orientation. What does that mean? What we have to do is make sure that our skills base is orientated towards work so we can appreciate the intrinsic value of education. But let's also appreciate the extrinsic value, which is to say, can we get our young people skilled up to be able to compete in other sectors? And at this point in time, we've prioritized access, so more people are going to school. but I think it is common cause. The quality thereof is simply unworkable. And I would argue the case further, which is to say the circumstances of your birth and the depth of your pocket still determine the quality of education you're going to get in this country.
Because there is this, you know, the issue itself, we're not even starting from the same base where we agree that actually we need to reassess the so-called pass rate. Do you think you're going to, you know, we're going to move to a point where we can address the issues directly as we should? Because if we're not agreeing on the base, I suspect we're going to take a long time getting to what the solutions are.
It's not only unique to education, it has to allow us as a country to say, what is our ambition as a country? You know, the truth of the matter is, education tells you how ambitious you are as a nation. Countries that have moved up the developmental curve, you take South Korea, you take Japan, you take many African states, many of them have done so on the back of educating the young people. In fact, the converse is equally true, that when apartheid was at its fullest height, its ability to oppress black South Africans was through education. It said, let us miseducate the Africans because they'll end up just working in factories, so or in farms. So if we flip that and say, what is our ambition as a country? We want to be an educated society that has enough skills where people are able to compete in professional sectors. We want to include vocational training where you've got, you know, skilled plumbing, technical vocation work. If that is our ambition, to say, okay, to achieve that, what kind of education system must we have? I think we would all concede that we don't need children who pass at 30%. What we ultimately need, we don't need teachers who are not assessed because they all have suspended the annual national assessment. Mm. So we would look at it from that perspective. So as things stand at the moment, it is to have a proper conversation, we need a proper review of where this country needs to go. Mm. And I would urge further, that's why I've called for a debate in Parliament. And I'm saying to them, let's make the debate, what is an ambitious country with an education look like?
Again, apart from starting from the base, there just seems to be the celebration when you know, general sentiment in government is that we're doing well, there's an improvement, we're starting to see the results, you know, and that concerns me. I mean, your thoughts on that?
No, look, I mean, of course, many of these are driven by a department that doesn't obviously itself want to concede it's not doing well. So it takes the stats that make it look good. Mm. And that's why the ceremony is so well put together, and you have a minister saying, in the deputy minister saying, you know, don't ask your children to achieve things that you didn't achieve. And I'm like, what lack of ambition is that? I'm a parent. I've never met a parent who says, I want my children to be worse than me. I mean, in what universe is that? So with all of that in mind, what I really think we need to do is, as part of this national dialogue, is to be sincere about our education and be honest about our failures. Because the self-congratulation of 87% is in fact the very thing that undermines our need for reform. Because why reform something that's at 87%? But when you really look at the pipeline, you say, how do children who eight out of ten of them cannot read for meaning when they hit the age of 10, suddenly all of them pass matric, or 87% of them pass matric? It doesn't correlate in that sense. So let us be fair to ourselves and say, actually, we are all sickened as a society that two out of three of our young people are unemployed, that our young people cannot compete in benchmarking as far as pearls and TIMS are concerned. Mm. And more than anything, the global market, our children are competing with each other only. Mm. I'm competing with a worker in Japan, in China, in India, in Bangladesh, in Kenya. So let us have a proper assessment and then say to ourselves, what does a competitive nation look like? And then I think once we are there, we'll stop this self-congratulation at 87%. We'll eventually start to say, we will only congratulate ourselves when we see more young people getting into the workspace.
You've launched a hotline. I think it's a hotline. Schools Complaints Hotline. What do you want to achieve with that hotline?
Well, many parents can't place their children. Mm. They need help. We are members of parliament. We didn't elect ourselves. We are elected to serve the people. So when citizens have problems, they need to be able to communicate those, and we need to hold the department accountable for those. I already even now have a school in Deep Sloot who have written to me to say, look, here are some problems we've got. We've got no desks. We've got learners sitting, kneeling down to study. This is in 2024 when you can have a minister who, ministers who are driving around with bodyguards and 600 million rand is spent on that, whilst education infrastructure is left to decay. This is unacceptable. It is a crime, in my view. It is offensive. And therefore, we launched this hotline to say, let us highlight these issues. It's how we then discover schools like Maibuye, who then end up being built on swamps. It's how you work with parents to say, actually, you got to be able to raise your educational concerns, because for every child that is lost in the system, that is an ambition of a family. But that is a potential criminal, is a potential person who's ending up at home in circumstances that we don't want. And I would urge more than anything that if we don't take the education component seriously as a society, collectively, we are going to end up with, in the years to come, a welfare state that is unsustainable, because already now 60% of our budget is spent on welfare.
Sure. Asama, are you going to be very busy? Because I can tell you now, the number of queries we are receiving, and I'm afraid it doesn't seem like they're getting the attention that they deserve. We've been trying to pass that on, and it's a little bit scary, the silence on the other end. So this is an email address, am I correct?
Yes, people can send an email address to our Bossa site and they can put their details there, and we will do our best. We have to serve the people. This was the same, if you'll remember, a number of years ago, we faced the problems with Home Affairs, and people were starting to bring out their complaints. And fortunately, now Home Affairs is starting to show some improvement. Now we've got to do more, even in this education space, because there is, you know, all of us are impacted by the sector, parent and children likewise.
So it's education@bossa.org.za. Am I right?
Correct, yes. That is correct, yes.
All right. Well, it's going to be full. That inbox is going to be very full. Thank you very much for your time, Bossa leader, Musimai Mane there, just asking Parliament to really have a conversation about the quality of education and the state of education in this country. They're also saying that they're taking all kinds of complaints, you know, schools, teachers, parents, and so on. And maybe, just maybe, they can try and escalate this. The email address is education@bosa.org.za.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.